I had a massive tree limb fall down in my yard last week. Came down directly between my garage and my house. Zero damage to either one. So my husband and I are standing in the same driveway. We're looking at the same tree, and we had two very completely different experiences. He's freaking out that the tree fell. I'm literally thanking God. I'm celebrating that it missed both structures. Same event, same exact yard, same limb, two entirely different realities happening in two nervous systems standing a foot apart. Okay. That is perspective. It is the only thing in your entire life that nobody can take from you. Sure, people can take your money. They can take your fucking job. They can take your relationship. They could take your health. They could take your plans. They cannot take how you choose to see what happens. That shit belongs to you. It is yours. It's always been yours. And most of you have been handing it off voluntarily every single day without even noticing that you're making that a transaction. Hey, you guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Podcast. I'm Brandon Lynette, Voice Authority Podcast Coach. The core, your mess is your message. Your potential is your purpose. And I'm here to remind you to get the fuck over yourself and go build it. You guys, perspective is a choice. And I know that sounds like a whack ass toxic positivity poster hanging in a dentist's office. So listen to me. The minute you know God has you, you know everything always works out for you. That doesn't mean, you guys, in my experience, everything doesn't feel good. No, the fuck it does not. We are still in the arena getting our ass kicked on a regular basis. I am still going through hard emotional shit, but what is the truth at the end of the day? I know God has me, and no matter what happens, no matter what happens, I know we're always going to be okay. Always going to be okay. And that knowing changes what you see when shit happens, like a tree limb falling between your house and your garage. And what you see determines what you find. It's going to determine what magnetizes to you. It's going to determine what you calibrate to. And ultimately, it determines who the fuck you become. And so today, we'll just go through the mechanics of that. You know, I'm going to nerd out on some brain shit and just. I can show you real life proof from my own marriage what it costs you every single day that you keep seeing your life as something happening to you. The world is out to get you. What's next? What's going to happen next? Why is this always happening? Instead of realizing that shit's happening for you. Before we go in today, you know that we are bringing up Supa Patch, and I love this patch. I've been wearing this, especially you guys. I'm wearing like seven stickers a day now just to kind of process this super emotional week. But joy is one I'm leaning on because perspective and joy, they feed each other. When your baseline state is joy, the reframe, that's just available a lot faster. It is. And joy supports like natural happiness and optimism. And it's your body operating from the state that sees blessings instead of constantly scanning for threats and enemies. These patches, you guys, are drug-free, ingredient-free. They are made in the United States of America. This is vibrotactile technology working directly through your nervous system. This is the thing. I understand the mechanics of how these work. I know that because I've been a brain nerd for about 4 years now, obsessed with it. So I know how the fuck these work. And my thing is like, I wouldn't care even if I didn't. I just know that when I put it on, even my husband, he has AS, hasn't had a flare up in forever because he has the patches. He hasn't been wearing them regularly and he just had a flare up. And guess what? He puts the patches on and it's done. And if you guys know what AS is, it's like a debilitating. Your back is like calcifying, it's hardening, your spine is hardening. This like stops it in its tracks. So it's one of those, like, you don't have to understand the mechanics of how it works. You can, but it doesn't change the fact that they're really fucking effective. So the link is in my show notes always, you guys. So, all right, the tree story, you guys. Big storm. This isn't the first time. I think I told you guys about the one that actually fell on our house. Okay. This was the same experience. Like, This huge tree falls on our house, zero damage, you guys. It was an inconvenience. We had to have someone come cut it because it was like half broken off, half whatever. And so you can imagine my husband's focus is on shit. We have to call someone. We have to clean this up. We have to get this, you know, we have to pay for this. And I'm just like, I can't believe it didn't crush the back of our house. I cannot believe that. Thank you, God, for protecting us. Nobody got hurt. I mean, I'm standing right in the kitchen when this happens. I could have been sitting in my office and it could have crushed the house because it's right over my office, you know. Same thing. A month later, big storm, huge limb comes down. And I mean, this thing is huge. If you guys don't know anything about Michigan, because I'm from Colorado, so it's kind of a desert, right? We have huge mountains, but our trees are tiny. Like Colorado trees are like baby trees. So when I came here, the trees in Michigan are like mountains. But this branch, this limb that came down is like the size of a Colorado tree. I mean, it's huge. It's the kind that would have gone through the roof like it was paper, truly. But it landed in the one strip of ground between our garage and our house. If it had fallen 4 feet in either direction, we would have been filing an insurance claim and living in a construction zone for months, okay? Which is traumatizing because my dogs want to kill everybody. What would I do with my dogs at that time? So I'm thinking of this stuff. I'm like, thank you, God. And when my husband sees it, he just goes into the spiral. The tree fell. Look at the size of it. What if it hit the house? We need to get other limbs checked. The whole tree might be compromised. Like, what else is about to fall? And I walk out. I see the same thing. And I'm like, just happy. I'm like, thank you, God. It missed. It missed the house. It missed the garage. A limb that size falls out of the sky and it threads the needle between the two most expensive things we own. And it touched neither side. That is not a disaster. That is a miracle. So, same event, same limb, same driveway. His nervous system is like threat detection. And mine is like, this is a gift. And this is the thing. Like, we're both right about the facts, right? The limb did fall, it did miss. Both of those things are true. The facts did not determine our experience, it's the perspective that did. And I watch, like, I love my husband with my whole life. But I watch this and I can't force him to change, right? I can love and support him where he's at. That's our job. And I watch what the perspective costs him. I am telling you, believing that everything is happening to you is exhausting. I watch it in him. It is a toll on him. When your default lens is threat, like you're constantly living braced, you recover slower. You miss the blessing and the gifts that are right in front of you because you're so busy just auditing danger. That lens keeps you a perpetual victim in a life that is so full of near misses and open doors and gifts that you never count. You don't see them because you're just like, the world is out to get me. And I watch how heavy it is on him, on his physical body, on his mental body, on all of those things. And I'm like, flip the switch. Your brain has a filter. You guys, I've talked about this before, the reticular activating system. Its job is to decide what gets through to your conscious attention, because there is far more information coming at you every second than your brain can truly process. So, like, this system is filtering it, and it filters based on what you train your brain to look for. Buy a white Jeep, and suddenly white Jeeps are everywhere. They were always there. It's just that your filter changed. And that's what happens under perspective. That's the mechanism under perspective. And that's why perspective isn't just that bullshit toxic positive thinking. It's a calibration instruction to your brain. When your dominant question is what could go wrong, the filter surfaces threats. Every ambiguous event gets read as danger. Every neutral face looks like judgment. Every setback confirms the story. The brain's not lying to you. It's delivering exactly what the fuck you asked for. When your dominant frame is everything works out for me. And that's my core. That's it. Everything works out for me. Everything works out for me. I'm safe. I'm loved. I'm chosen. Everything works out for me. My filter recalibrates. And now, when you have something like the near miss, it registers as a near miss instead of a scare. The opportunity in the hard weeks, that starts to become visible. The person who could change everything shows up in your inbox and you actually notice because your filter was set up to look for it. Your nervous system follows the filter. A threat-calibrated brain keeps the body in that low-grade sympathetic activation. That means your cortisol's dripping. Your muscles are braced constantly. Your sleep is shallow. And that's the toll I watch perspective take on people that I love. A blessing calibrated brain lets the nervous system settle into the state where, like, recovery, creativity, and connection actually happen. Had I not had this perspective, my son is 5 days into boot camp. He just met his platoon today. All of that, if I struggled with my perspective and I was thinking, why is this happening to me? That's my baby. Well, first of all, it truly, come on. If I had that victim mentality, if I had that state of the world was out to get me instead of like, what can I learn from this? I'm praying about it. I'm like, how can I grow from this? My son's going to be different. How can I be better on the other side of this? How can I grow with him? He has inspired me to grow too. So I'm doing some extra hard shit I've never done before. I've made myself uncomfortable this week. I'm doing shit that wasn't doing. Playing small in places now, I'm starting to show up in a big way. But the thing is, if I had that victim mentality, I would not be able to be recording podcasts. I wouldn't have the creativity. I'm editing a book this week, a book that I wrote months ago that's just been sitting on my hard drive. I actually went and printed it and I'm editing it. It's that. I couldn't do any of that if I was still in that fight or flight. If I had the cortisol poisoning, I'd be frozen. I'd be on the couch crying. I wouldn't be able to connect. I wouldn't be able to have my interview show. And I've had some great connections this week. I can show up completely because I think this is a gift for all of us. I see the gift on the other side. And if you follow me on Facebook, you're like, bitch, you were just crying about a Walmart order yesterday. Yeah, I still have the big feelings, you guys. Just because I have the perspective doesn't mean that shit doesn't hurt me. It doesn't mean this stuff isn't hard. It doesn't mean that I'm not being stretched and pulled. But the great thing, you guys, no matter how your brain is wired in this moment, neuroplasticity means that the calibration is trainable. You can rewire all of this. Every time you catch the victim read and you choose the other lens, and I mean, do it out loud if you have to, call yourself out, you're going to strengthen the new pathway. And so the reframe becomes faster and eventually it becomes the default. I promise you, I did not wake up wired like this. I was not always the person that's like, ooh, hell yeah, how can I grow from this? I was like, why the fuck is this happening to me? I'm tired of being the strong one, right? Trying to justify, like, God chooses his best soldiers for the hardest battles. I know you guys have said that shit. I didn't wake up wired like that. I built it. It's rep by rep, one exercise at a time, and you can do the same thing. I mean, I'm interviewing at least 20 people a week. 20. If I woke up every morning thinking, who do I have to talk to today? That schedule would crush me. I homeschool too. Like, I'm here. I take care of the house. I take care of my husband works a lot. I have to, take care of all his things, take care of the pets, keep everybody alive. If I woke up and I'm like, who do I have to talk to today? It'd be a grind. It'd be work. It'd be hard. Every interview would be a withdrawal. And I wake up asking the different question. Every single day, I'm like, oh my gosh, who do I get to talk to today? Who do I get to meet? What am I going to learn? What incredible thing is going to come out of the conversation that I haven't had yet? Every single day, I've not had a bad conversation yet. Everything has been a lesson, a blessing. Same calendar, same 20 people, completely different experiences. And this is what nobody tells you about the reframe. It doesn't just change how the interviews feel, it changes what comes out of them. When I show up curious and expectant instead of obligated and depleted, those conversations go deeper. The guests open up more. The connections that turn into opportunities actually form. There is always something incredible coming out of those talks, and it's not luck, it's calibration. I set the filter to find it, so then I find it because I know every single conversation I'm gonna learn something, I'm gonna grow, I'm gonna stretch, I'm gonna step more into the God-given potential that I have. I'm stewarding my mission. And the greatest part is that because I'm engaged, because I can be there, because I'm not a fucking perpetual victim, I can wake up in the morning and I can cry about my son and I can feel bad and I could come into these conversations and I can make this person feel seen. I can make them feel heard. They have no idea that I was just like losing my mind because I'm calibrated. I am calibrated. And when you can recover from hard moments fast, you show up full force everywhere. And that's it. I want you to run your own audit right now. Like, how much shit's on your calendar this week that are to-dos in your head that could be get-tos with just one word swapped? And I mean, personally, I'll tell you, I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it right now. I talked about like I have to cut video clips today. I need to. I've been saying that all week. What if I say I get to? I get to. What's going to inspire me? What's going to light a fire under my ass? Well, the fact that my son's getting screamed at right now and probably hasn't slept. I could do something that's comfortable, sit at my desk and edit a video. I get to do that. I get to be in the comfort of my home. I could take my computer out to the living room and hang out with my babies and put on a movie and get to cut videos. I get to do that. But if you word swap something, like what if tomorrow you're not like, I have to work out? What if you're like, I get to work out? I have to call my client. I get to call my client. Or even your podcast. What if you're like, I have to record a show? Or like, I get to record a show? You know, the kids practice. I mean, when you say have to, I have to, like you're draining your battery before you even start. And when you say get to, it's like charging the battery. It's one word. Like that's your whole intervention this week. It's just one word. And the news makes money when your filter's set to threat. Every headline is engineered to confirm that the world is happening to you and it's getting worse. That's what social media is right now. It's just going to make you feel terrible. A person calibrated to blessings watches less news. That person is bad for business. And the algorithm feeds whatever lens you already have. Watch one everything's falling apart video and it's going to bury you in 50 more because your outrage and your fear are the product. Your news feed, the feed does not want you calibrated to opportunity. Calibrated people put the phone down and they go build shit. You think that's what the algorithm wants? No, babe. Victim identity has an entire economy around it right now. You've got content that validates the everything happens to me story performs, so more of it gets made. So more people marinate in it. So more people walk into their driveway and see only the fallen tree and never the miracle of where it landed. Nobody in that economy is going to hand you either lens. Like you have to pick that shit up for yourself. I had this conversation, it's been a hot minute, but she lost her job of 14 years in a round of layoffs. I believe this was like COVID area. Everyone around her treated it like a funeral. You know, her family, her friends, her coworkers, all of them with the same script. This is terrible. This is unfair after everything you gave them. While that could be true, but she said, you know, she let herself feel that shit. She let herself feel bad for the weekend, and then she made a decision out loud. Is that this is the door I would never have opened myself. She wanted out for a long time. She knew at her core she was built for something else and she was staying because that paycheck was safe, right? Leaving is scary. So the layoff was the blessing. It did for her what she would not do for herself. And 18 months later, she's running her own business that she dreamed about for over a decade. So yeah, what's her perspective? The layoff was the best thing that happened to her career. And the only difference between her outcome and the coworkers who were still bitter about was the lens. Everybody got the same layoff. Everybody got the same severance. Everybody was in the same market, but one of them saw an ending and she saw the door. Same event, different perspective, different life every single time. Right now, I want you guys to send out this episode to the person in your life who thinks everything happens to them. And do it with love, because I'm telling you, they're fucking exhausted and they don't know why. But this episode is going to give them words for that so they can know the why. Paul and Silas. Paul is like one of my favorites. And if you guys don't know his background story, he was like the slayer of Christians. Like, he was huge murderer. He ends up, God takes his sight on the road to Damascus, and he finally wakes up and realizes, and then he becomes like the greatest advocate for Christians. So Paul and Silas, they're beaten with rods, they're thrown into the inner cell of a prison, their feet are fastened in stocks, they're falsely accused, publicly humiliated, they're bleeding. And at midnight, the Bible says they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So they're singing in the stocks with open wounds. They're not singing because the situation's good. The situation is terrible, clearly. They're singing because their perspective was anchored in something the prison couldn't touch. Nobody can touch this simple statement. God has us. This is not happening to us. Watch what God does with this. And then the earthquake comes, and the doors fly open, and the chains come loose. And by morning, the jailer and his entire household have come to faith. The worst night of their lives became the origin story of a church. And the other prisoners, they're listening. And that's the detail that I don't want you guys to breeze over. Your perspective is never just yours. People are watching how you carry shit. My kids are watching. They watch my husband, they watch me. And I could tell you, like, our two youngest, I'm watching. My oldest girl is watching him, and I see her starting to become that, where she is that perpetual victim. Your spouse is watching. The person who follows your podcast is watching. When you sing at midnight in the next cell, they start believing that midnight is survivable. So this is the thing. Catch the first read. Something goes sideways today. But before the spiral starts, I want you to ask the only question that matters. Is this happening to me or for me? You don't have to feel the answer yet. I just want you to ask it, okay? I just want you to simply interrupt. Asking will interrupt your automatic default mode network, the automatic script, okay? I want you to swap one have to for a get to out loud. I get to record today. I get to take my kids to practice. I get to have this hard conversation, and watch what that one word does for your body throughout the day. And once you start doing that for a day, a couple days, a week, everything shifts, okay? I want you to find the near miss. Somewhere in the last month, a limb fell and missed your house, and you were too busy staring at the fallen tree to see where it landed. Find it, name it, and thank God for that out loud. They're still part of that tree in my yard, you guys. The chainsaw died, so there's still part of it there. And every time I walk past it, I don't see a storm that almost cost us everything. I see proof. I see proof that a limb that size can fall out of the sky and God can thread it between the two things that could have been destroyed. You, listen, bitch, you have limbs like that all over your life. You have the near misses that you never counted. You have the doors that closed so better ones could open. The layoffs that were actually launches. Lessons just dressing themselves up as disaster. And you've missed most of the shit because your filter was set to threat. And the blessing doesn't get through a threat filter. Never has, never will. Perspective is the thing nobody can take from you. Not the economy, not the diagnosis, not the person who left, not the tree. It is the one possession that is entirely, permanently yours. And it's time you stop giving it away for free. Take it back today. The minute you know God has you, you know everything always works out for you. You're still in the arena. You're still going to get your ass kicked some days. But the thing is, you're always going to be okay. I would love for you to come work with me. Check the show notes. Tell me about your tree limb, the near miss you never celebrated, the door that closed that you're finally ready to see differently. Your mess is your message, and your perspective is the pen. Better today than yesterday, better tomorrow than today. That's literally the whole assignment. I love you guys.